Hello and welcome to another episode of the Azeem Digital Asks podcast. Today, my guest is the awesome Arij Abuali. If you don't know who she is, she's the founder of Women in Tech SEO, always talking about empowering women, and she's always sharing her knowledge about tech SEO. And in general, she's just a really nice person. We have a great conversation. I'm not going to say anything else. Enjoy this episode. Arij, hello. Thank you very much for joining me today. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for inviting me, Azeem. This is super, super exciting to be on.
You are more than welcome, my friend. Right, let's get straight into it. I'm not going to talk about food in this episode. I'm going to ask you for a little icebreaker question. And that question is, if you can see one movie again for the first time, what would it be and why?
That's a tough one. I think Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I don't know, have you seen that one?
I have not, but you're going to have to explain why it's so good that you wanted to see it for the first time.
Oh, it was brilliant. Yeah, I just completely fell in love with it the first time I saw it. It was just so good. And it's not really the type of movie I usually see, but I loved it. And I fell in love with the soundtrack and the concept and the movie. And I watched it quite a few times afterwards. But it was never quite the same as the first time I saw it. So yeah, definitely recommend for you to see that. That's the first one that came to mind, really.
Okay, I'm going to have to check it out. I'm hoping that it's on Netflix, because if it's not...
It is. It should be on Netflix. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Welcome to the show. Very pleased to have you. Do you want to give everyone a little bit of an introduction to yourself?
Yeah, happy to do that. I'm Arij. I'm currently based in London, born and raised in Egypt, and moved to the UK about 7 years ago. I do SEO. I've been doing that for the past 7 years or so. Mainly specializing in technical SEO, currently in-house, was agency side for quite a while before that. I'm the founder of Women in Tech SEO, which is something I'm super proud of. I've been doing that for the past year or so. It's an initiative just to connect, empower, and support women within the tech SEO space.
Awesome. So we'll dive into that a little bit later on. But let's go back to the very beginning, shall we? When did you realize that you were going to become a marketer and this was going to be the career for you?
Yeah, so my background was in computer engineering. That's what I studied back when I was in Egypt. That's what my degree was in. And then I moved to the UK and did an MBA in IT. And that's when I kind of started studying things like marketing, strategy, business side of things. And I just really, I found it very, very interesting. And I kind of stumbled across digital marketing while I was looking into internships to do during my master's degree. And that's when I kind of stumbled on the idea of SEO. And I was like, this is interesting, because it's this nice bridge between both computing and business, like the nice in between there, which I was super interested in. So that's kind of when I stumbled across it. And the first role that I winded up doing straight out of my master's degree was an SEO executive role. And I've kind of been doing that since then.
Awesome. So thinking about it, if you could go back to when you very first started in the industry, and you could give yourself one piece of advice, what would that be? What advice would you give to yourself?
Yeah, I think things along the lines of just being patient. I remember at the very first, like when I first started, I was a bit worried that I was quite behind. I felt that, you know, I wasn't doing my job properly. There was so much I didn't know, and it made me feel really overwhelmed. And that's perfectly fine, because I mean, even though I've been doing this for 7 years, until this day and age, there's still a lot of things I don't know about SEO, and that's perfectly okay. Like, no one knows everything. So I think my main advice would have been around, you know, to be patient, trust in the process, just kind of take my time, enjoying what I'm actually doing, rather than, you know, trying to rush really quickly and learn everything I possibly can in a short span of time.
Okay, perfect. So it definitely seems like throughout your entire working career that you've picked up a lot of things and that you've learned a lot of things. What kind of things have you picked up in your career that you want to share with the listeners?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, it took me, even with technical SEO foundations, there's a lot of stuff where I started doing tech SEO audits, you know, in my first year, but there were certain concepts that I didn't understand properly. I mean, I only understood the difference between crawling and indexing like 3 years within my tech SEO sphere, which is really embarrassing to admit, but it is true. It's so easy to confuse or complicate some of these processes or these terminologies or what they mean. It's very normal for us to be using terms interchangeably and not really quite grasping the key behind things. And that's why it makes like aha moments very nice, you know, because you kind of reach a point where you're like, whoa, so this clicks then, you know, this is what this means and this is why that works that way. And I think that's perfectly fine. There's a lot of stuff this year that I'm learning about structured markup that I didn't know before, I didn't consider. And the only reason I'm even learning it now is because, you know, an exec within my team was doing a structured markup audit and she's the one who taught me tons of that stuff. So that's totally fine. You know, as long as we're curious and as long as we're asking the right questions and as long as we have that mindset that we always want to learn, I think that's what matters the most at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Sounds very inspiring. And speaking of inspiration, previous guests on the episodes, many of them have cited yourself as an inspiration in the industry. I certainly would agree because you're constantly doing positive things and lifting other people up as well as yourself. So if I was doing an episode, I would definitely say you're one of the many inspirations in this industry. But what about yourself? Who inspires you in the industry?
Oh, well, that's really nice. So thanks, Hazim. I mean, I got super inspired by you because I remember when we met and it was at both of our first Brighton SEO talk.
Yeah.
And you were so encouraging and it was so nice to be around you because I was feeling really nervous and you were feeling really nervous, but you had this awesome sense of humor and you were kind of like, and even though I think we both had the slot at the same time, so we couldn't even be there for each other during our
talk.
Yeah, but it was just really nice to be around you. And I think those are the kind of people that I gravitate towards, like people who, you know, have a really nice sense of humor, are really motivating to one another and really encourage each other. And I think within the industry, definitely there's a number of people who constantly inspire me. So Jamie Alberico is the first one to come to mind because when I saw her speak in Search Love London, she was the reason that I decided to go and pitch for Brighton SEO because I got really inspired seeing, you know, a woman on stage speaking about like advanced tech SEO. And I was like, okay, you know, I can do that as well. And she was one of the main people who got me really inspired about pitching to speak.
Yeah.
Brittany Muller is awesome because of everything that she's doing and the stuff that she talks about when it comes to machine learning and so forth. Like there's tons to learn from her. But then also, you know, awesome people like Christina Azarenko, the kind of work that she does on e-commerce is really brilliant. And she also shares a lot of her knowledge. Like even though she's a consultant and it's very easy for consultants to kind of keep some of that to their clients, but she's always really keen to kind of share some of that stuff to the world. And she always volunteers a lot of her time as well and shares her best practices, you know, to people who are starting off in their career. So yeah, it's really difficult to kind of just name a few people. There are tons that come to mind. And I think at the end of the day, it's just always about, you know, the more we share our knowledge to others and the more we welcome people who are quite new within the industry, you know, and the more we're positive and we help amplify one another, like anyone who would do that definitely falls under like the criteria of people who are really inspiring.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree with you more. Let's talk about you and let's talk about what you're doing now. So you're with Zoopla now, right? What sort of challenges are you facing now with your specific role and how are you overcoming them?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, Zoopla was my first client-side in-house role and it felt like a completely different world going into that after 5 years or more of doing agency side and navigating, you know, the amount of roles in there, the amount of teams. There isn't such a thing as, okay, yeah, there's an engineer, just go up and speak to them. Instead, there are tons of different product teams who are focused on lots of different things. And, you know, the SEO scope of work might fall a bit under there, might not fall there. So for me, the initial challenge was about really understanding who the main key stakeholders are, you know, who works on what their priorities are, and kind of getting a good feel on how would that match within the scope of work that I do and how we can collaborate together. And I think initially as well, it was just there was this realization of, whoa, that's why when I was agency side, you know, a lot of people or my clients struggled sometimes to implement some of my recommendations. And it was really getting into grasp with that and the idea that not all websites are as simple as, you know, here you go, this is the one website, you can access the CMS, you can do those changes. Tons of websites have lots of, you know, different backlogs, lots of different stacks they rely on. There's so much more than just, okay, here's my recommendation, let's go ahead and simply implement it. I really had to also start like understanding key ROI, putting in together like proper prioritization models, understanding whether, even though something might have a high SEO impact, but what does that look like in terms of how long it would take developers to actually implement it? So yeah, I feel like I'm still learning a lot. I've been there for a year now. There's still a lot of things that I'm getting into, you know, grips with, and I'm kind of understanding more, but definitely never to underestimate or undervalue the power of, you know, building relationships with those key stakeholders. That goes far and beyond the importance of, you know, doing your everyday SEO analysis and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's really refreshing to hear that you're saying things about, you know, valuing relationships and continuing to build relationships, because I've fallen into the trap before where I've got comfortable is probably the best word to describe it, in the sense of, right, well, I've done this for a few years now. This is how I've done it, and this is how I'll continue to do it. And it was only when I started to work with people that had the same mindset as yourself about learning and growing where I was like, well, actually, this is a fresh way of looking at things and a different way to do it. So I'm going to start doing that more, which is brilliant. Keep doing that. That's one of the many reasons why I think this industry loves you. So don't change. That is brilliant. Let's move on. Let's talk about coronavirus and COVID. hopefully you don't have it, and nobody you know has it. But in a business point of view, from your work, how has that affected you, and how have you responded to it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from an industry basis, so we work within the housing market. So I would say we're quite lucky, even though initially it was a little bit of a scare. I mean, the government officially closed down the housing market for a few weeks there. So initially it was a little bit like, okay, wow, how are we going to deal with this? But then everything opened up really, really quickly within our industry, much quicker than within other industries. Estate agents were one of the first to resume business and open up again. So it was in a way, I would say we were quite lucky, and I'm quite grateful for my role as well and the industry that I work within. We've definitely seen, you know, a big surge and a big increase once everything reopened again. There's a lot of things that are coming through from the government as well, such as the stamp duty holiday that's going on right now until March, for example. So a lot of this is encouraging first-time buyers and people generally to seek elsewhere. Even with rental market, I would say a lot of us who rent, probably this time in lockdown, kind of made us realize, you know, I'm not really so fond of my space and I should probably look for somewhere a bit bigger. I should consider having a garden, you know, things like that. So I would say industry-wise, you know, really lucky to be working with an industry that wasn't massively impacted or affected, at least from an SEO and organic perspective. But then on a personal basis, I would say with Corona, it was quite interesting because this was the first time that I really, you know, get to grips with the idea of working from home and, you know, being based remotely. And it's something that I personally enjoyed. So I know that some people have had some trouble with it. You know, some people prefer being in an office setting. Some people find that a bit more productive. On the contrary, from my end, I actually really, really enjoyed the whole idea of working from home, not having to commute, you know, having more free time in the mornings, more free time in the evenings, you know, being able to have lunch with my husband, being able to cook more. I think a lot of these things I found much better from a personal perspective.
Awesome. So it definitely seems like you've been on a journey of learning both in your career and also in your personal life as well, adjusting to a new way of work.
Yeah, and I would say definitely like one of the things that initially I was really nervous about, like line management as well, onboarding people. I had someone in the team who I interviewed, offered them the role, onboarded them, and they're currently, they've been with us for a bit, around 2 months now. And I was super nervous from my end. Oh, would I be able to do that properly? You know, when we're all based remotely, we're not in the same office and so on. But I feel like everything turned out to be, the focus was on communication. Like our advice usually with the team is to over communicate everything. And it's been working out really, really well.
Brilliant. That's great to hear. So again, another example of how much you've learned in a short space of time. Thinking about the industry and trying to keep on top of everything that's changing in terms of like even another Google update every 5 minutes, it seems. How are you continuing to learn, and how are you getting your knowledge in, and how are you staying on top or in line with the industry? How do you do that?
Our industry, I mean, I think it's super exciting, but then at the same time, it can also be really overwhelming. It's so easy to always feel like you're a little bit behind. You know, if you miss out on, if you don't log on to Twitter for one day, and then the next day you're like, oh my God, all these things happened. When did that even go on? So it is really difficult to stay on top of everything. But I think that's okay, like coming to the acceptance of it's okay, you don't need to be an expert in everything and you don't need to be on top of every single update. I rely on Twitter a lot. I rely on the different Slack communities, Women in Tech SEO, of course. Everyone's always sharing tons of questions and tons of resources and, you know, asking different things, giving different advice. That's kind of how I keep up to date with things that are happening. I would say the one, like, two or three newsletters come to mind, definitely, like the ones that I would always, you know, click on and actually go through. So Alay does one. I'm sure quite a few people mentioned that. Yeah. SEO FOMO, she sends it on Sunday, and it's a brilliant resource of, she always, I also feel that, and she probably doesn't admit that, but I think she does put an effort to make sure she diversifies as well, everything that she shares in it. And she always amplifies, you know, people who are quite new to the industry. And I have so much respect for that. Blue Array also have a really, really good newsletter that they send out on Sundays as well, with a lot of the different industry news. And I also love Christina's one. She's got one that she always sends on e-commerce updates and news. And that one is more of a knowledge sharing one where, you know, just by reading the email, you kind of get a new nugget about e-commerce or tech SEO or so forth.
Yeah, definitely. I think in terms of Christina's email, she does personalization really well. Mm-hmm. I remember when I got one of the first emails, I was like, well, she's addressed this to me personally. And then it's only when I got to the end that I thought, actually, she's just done this really well, to be honest. So yeah, couldn't agree with you more. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting to hear how you're keeping on top of things and how you're trying to avoid, you know, not failing. So just touching on failure very quickly, what would you say in the last 12 months has been the biggest failure for you? And why do you think that happened?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I failed to kind of take care of myself more. I stress out a lot and I take a lot on and I don't really give myself a break. So I'm finally on a week off this week. And it's because I realized in July that I hadn't taken any holidays since Christmas. And I was like, okay, that explains why I feel this way then. And yeah, I think definitely a big failure was, especially being in my first year client side and in-house, I was always so busy trying to pick up tons of stuff and, you know, trying to do this and trying to do that and volunteer to do that. And then at the same time, I've got everything happening with Women in Tech SEO as well. And just being, trying my best to have a lot of different initiatives rolling out, trying to keep the name out. So I definitely would say I do quite a lot, because other than my day-to-day job, I always have a massive to-do list for my evenings and my weekend. And it's very, very rare that I tell or admit that, okay, you know what? I'm just not going to do anything this weekend and I deserve that. And I need to take care of myself a bit more. So I think it's taking me some time to start to acknowledge that, but it's definitely something that I want to start focusing more on in the next 12 months. In terms of my everyday work though, I would say maybe, you know, the realization of I am not in control of everything. And it's okay if there are some things that don't go my way and that I need to acknowledge that and I need to let go of that. And if I recommend some things that I feel are best from an SEO perspective, but they don't get prioritized right away due to a number of reasons, you know, it's okay. Not everything is within my control. And what I need to do instead is kind of start focusing and really understanding how different teams work best and what works for them and how I can kind of sync with their scope of work rather than force them to do my scope of work. So that's something I need to start doing more of as well. And I've tried to, and again, I think that goes back to the idea of, you know, the value of these relationship buildings and the value of really understanding different teams and their scope of work and so forth, and prioritizing that at times and trying to reach compromises rather than just trying to kind of force your way of doing things onto others.
Yeah, you're speaking a lot of sense, and this is definitely going to resonate with a lot of people who listen to this. You mentioned there in your last answer about women in tech SEO. So let's speak about that for a little bit. And let's go to the very beginning. So what made you decide to start up Women in Tech SEO?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a bit over a year now So we started in May 2019, and it's one of those things where I think last year, towards the start of the year, I was really getting really demotivated by the industry, and I was starting to think, do I really want to continue doing tech SEO? Do I want to continue being within the SEO industry? You know, is now the time to kind of update that or change that? And I kind of started questioning that. I was like, well, what's making me feel demotivated? What's not making me feel really that I fit in properly? And a lot of it was around, you know, my own confidence and my own struggle to kind of go on Twitter, for example, and ask a question, something I'm stuck in. I was always worried that, you know, someone would come across that question and be like, whoa, you know, she's meant to be an SEO manager. Like, how does she not know something as basic as that? And then there was also the idea of a lot of people were always talking about, oh yeah, there's this exclusive Facebook group, you know, but yeah, not everyone can be in it. It's like people who've been in the industry for I don't know how long and so forth. And that always made me feel like an outsider to that, because nothing should be exclusive. You know, if someone wants to be part of a group or something, then it should be as simple as them being interested in the topic and then them being added to that group. So I kind of did a lot of research and I couldn't find anywhere like a Slack community or a Facebook group or so on that I felt like I could fit in. And I decided to start my own thing. And I've always found a lot of inspiration and motivation from women-only spaces, because for me, it always felt like a safe space, you know, somewhere that I could completely be myself and a lot of people could kind of resonate and relate to some of my own struggles and challenges. So yeah, I kicked off initially as a Facebook group, and we had like 100 people join in the first week. And then I was like, you know, well, it would be quite nice if we can start meeting each other. And that's when I started like a meetup group as well for the London-based people to start meeting up. And yeah, that's kind of how it went. And we, even though most of our meetups were London-based initially, but with lockdown, I would say one of the advantages that came out of that was the fact that we started hosting tons of global meetups as well. So we had a lot of awesome people, you know, based all around the world, basically, do talks and so forth.
Awesome. Yeah, so you have grown massively internationally. I'm always seeing things online about the number of different countries where you've got members of this brilliant group from. So hopefully that growth continues. I noticed as well that you recently launched a mentoring scheme as well. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I'm really excited about that because it's something I've been wanting to do for quite a while now. And I was always, as always, overcomplicating and overthinking, you know, the best way to do it and how to structure it in the best way. And then eventually I was like, okay, I just need to kick this off and then let's see how it goes. And yeah, again, massive success, really excited about it. With the help of the brilliant Naomi Sanderson, because I finally learned that I need to ask for help. And she's been helping me like co-organize and co-admin the Slack community as well. So it was just a natural fit. We worked so well together. And we had over 200 mentors and 200 mentees sign up within the application form. So we looked at everything in terms of, it doesn't necessarily just have to be about SEO. So you could either mentor people on SEO-related topics or on soft skills, because, you know, people are interested in either. So it could be even things around leadership and strategy, you know, public speaking, confidence, negotiation. Or within SEO, we didn't want to keep it just around tech SEO. We also had topics on, you know, content SEO or digital PR or local SEO.
Yeah.
We kind of wanted to make it as welcoming as possible to as many people as we could. And then I think what really sparked it was there was someone who, I think it was Jackie Shu, and she had a poll on Twitter around, in your previous mentorship relations, you know, was your mentor, you know, a guy, a man or a woman? And it was, I think it was 73% had voted that they mainly had male mentors. And wow. That was another idea as well, which is, that's surprising because, you know, why wouldn't there be more, you know, female mentors? Are we simply not giving them a chance? Are we simply not approaching them? And so the idea of the program was really around women mentoring women. And for me, it's not just about the mentees getting the most out of it, but also it's about the mentors. And we encouraged a lot of mentors who weren't feeling confident initially to apply to do so, because we want to give them a lot of support. I feel like this would be just as helpful for mentors to know that they're able to mentor others. And so the brilliant Hannah Butcher volunteered to do mentor training as well for our mentors. So we've got a lot of support in hand, and we officially kick off this week, and it's going to be a 2-month program. And then we're going to get feedback based off how that goes before we kind of revamp it to be more of a frequent future program.
Awesome. It sounds brilliant. And I wish you the very best of luck with that. I wanted to ask you if there are any women listening who aren't part of this brilliant group and they do want to get involved. How can they get involved?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Everyone is welcome. I mean, all women, anyone who identifies as a woman who, even though it is Women in Tech SEO, you know, you don't have to be an expert in tech SEO. You could be working with people who do tech SEO. You could be interested in learning it. You could be someone who's about to graduate and, you know, you're interested in this industry. So absolutely any women at all who are interested in the industry, they're more than welcome to join us. We've got the Facebook group. We've got the Slack community. You know, you can follow us on Twitter, on LinkedIn. And it's just all about being a part of it, asking questions, answering questions, you know, giving advice, sharing resources, posting job openings that you've got in your company. We have communities within there and groups related specifically to agency side, to client side, to freelancers. So, you know, there's tons of ways to support. If you want to do a talk in one of our, you know, meetups, you're more than welcome to. We always encourage first-time speakers. So it's all about, you know, sharing that knowledge and asking the questions and connecting with one another and just helping amplify each other as well.
Brilliant. I'm sure there'll be women listening who will take advantage of that. I have to ask, other than world domination, what's next for Women in Tech SEO?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with world domination, there is definitely so much more we can do. So something I'd really hope, I mean, the London community we have and the meetups that were happening, you know, before Corona, which will hopefully resume once Corona is done, is something that I really want to see translated all around the world. So we've got brilliant community members based everywhere. So I definitely want to start structuring, having different chapter leads across different cities. So we can have, like, you know, a New York chapter, a Singapore chapter, you know, an Egypt chapter. So things along those lines, and having, you know, someone there who's kind of in charge, being able to set up different meetups and events and so forth there is definitely something I have in mind. I just need to start kind of planning the structure behind it and being okay with letting go with bits and pieces as well. For me, it's really important that our values kind of stay the same. And it's a little bit difficult if you grow too much to ensure that that continues to happen. So I just really need to start thinking of a structure around it.
Brilliant. It seems like you're well on course to take over the world, and hopefully that you do. But yeah, so we're going to do something a little bit different now, which I do with all of my guests. We're going to swap positions, and I am going to say that if we were to swap roles, like right now, what question would you ask yourself that I haven't?
Oh, good one. I mean, maybe something a little bit more, like, not related to, you know, what do I enjoy doing? So other than SEO, Women in Tech SEO, all that other stuff, like, what kind of stuff do I enjoy doing?
Go on then, the floor is yours.
Oh, why did I do this to myself? Now I need to think of something super interesting. I mean, I really enjoy eating. So I know you said we're not going to talk about food. It's definitely one of my favorite things. And I'm really happy because I just recently discovered this brilliant Egyptian woman who caters proper Egyptian food in London. And we had her send us some food for Eid last week. And it was so good. It tasted like home. And it just got me thinking, like, that's such a smart idea. You know, can you imagine, you know, people from all around the world, like different countries and so forth, just start doing some of this stuff, not necessarily opening restaurants. She just had a Facebook page and a menu on it, and that's it. But it was such a good idea, you know, for food that really reminds you of home.
Brilliant. So it sounds like she's got a repeat customer then, yeah?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I was so happy. I couldn't believe food couldn't make me feel this happy, but I'm definitely going to be ordering again soon.
Awesome. It's a shame that we're coming to the end of this episode, because it's been absolutely brilliant talking to you, but I think I'm probably going to end up making a playlist with this question that I ask everybody. So put yourself into that situation. You need to get hyper productive, 100% productive. What is in your ears? What are you listening to? What song, artist, album? What helps you get into that zone?
Foo Fighters come to mind. I love them so much, and you know, they always get me super energized. All My Life, Learn to Fly, a whole bunch of stuff. Are you a Foo Fighters fan?
I only listen to the Foo Fighters when I'm in the gym. purely because, it just gets me into that zone. I couldn't do it when I was working because I'd probably just be singing along the whole time.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think for me, it's always, it's always music that kind of gets my energy levels up that I would definitely listen to. It just, and I would only choose songs that I know the lyrics of as well, that I know the lyrics of really well, because it just makes it easier. I feel if I'm listening to music where I don't know the lyrics, then I might struggle to focus because I might be trying to listen to the lyrics, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Go on then, give us a little bit of Foo Fighters.
No, never.
Areed, this has been brilliant. Thank you very much for your time. I really wish you the best of success with everything, including world domination. For anybody listening who doesn't know how to or wants to get in touch, how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always on Twitter. I need to be on it less, but unfortunately, it's not happening right now. So you can find me on @Areej_AbuAli, and also Women in Tech SEO, womenintechseo.com. And we've got @TechSEOWomen on Twitter as well. So please do connect with us there.
Perfect. Once again, thank you very much for your time. I really enjoyed it. And I know that when the listeners hear this, that they will enjoy it too. I will let you have the last word on this episode.
Yeah, just a massive thanks to you, Azeem. I mean, I think it's brilliant. I love the idea of doing a podcast that focuses more on, you know, people and what they're doing rather than asking, you know, your typical SEO type of questions, which sometimes people get really tired of listening to. But thanks so much for everything that you're doing. And I know that you're doing tons of different talks at the moment and articles and so on about diversity in SEO. And I just have a lot of respect for that. So thank you for everything you're doing and contributing to the industry.
So that was another great episode in the bag. I'm really enjoying hearing from some of the top names in this industry, and I hope that you are too. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating, like, share, and subscribe. You can find out more about the podcast on the Twitter page @AzeemDigiAsks, all one word, and also on my website, which is iamazeemdigital.com. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, you can get in touch with me via my website. And that's it from me. Looking forward to the next episode already. Take care.